It's All Things Considered HPR 1, and I'm Dave Lawrence. Today we've got a guest with a new album out now. It's Surgical Meth Machine, debut from Al Jorgensen, who's been part of numerous projects including Revco and Lard, but perhaps best known for his influential and innovative rock band, Ministry. An appropriate one to hear during the week that our HPR news department began a series of stories relating to meth use in Hawaii. And we welcome Al Jorgensen for a conversation now on ATC. Hey, Uncle Al, thanks for taking some time for us today.
It's all good. What do you want to talk about today in the Aloha State? What's on your mind?
The new video for I'm Invisible. In watching that, I was thinking about some of the tools and interesting gizmos that went into this.
Well, I mean, it goes back to my theory on why the state of music, if you will, has gotten so bad. In the 60s, when we had virtually no technology and no options, every band sounded different. Now, in the new millennia, we have all this technology and all the bands sound the same, right?
It's true.
It's a real conundrum that I still haven't wrapped my mind around. So the way we did this record, if you will, which wasn't even supposed to be a record, every year I spent about 4 months in the studio just bashing out ideas. And at the end of those 4 months, we'll listen back, and if something sounds good, we'll try and put it on the shelf, like, say, in a Ministry category on the shelf, or a Revco category, or a Lard category. And eventually, maybe some of these things will come out as a full album, or we'll work on the ideas further. But this one, some of the CDs I gave my friends leaked, and record labels started calling and went like, wow, this stuff's great, blah, blah, blah. They're like, well, we want to put it out and all this stuff. So I'm like, I may be overstepping my bounds, but why don't you see if you guys can pay us for this? So they did. They wrote a check for me, and I went down to the bank that day, and I cashed it, and the thing cleared. The next day after the check cleared, I'm like, wow, you guys are serious. And they're like, yeah. So one last thing, what are you going to call the band? And what do we do with this? So I'm like, I don't know. We'll get back to you in about a day. And just decided, like, we did the whole project pretty surgically. And there was no other external musicians outside of 1 weekend that Jello Biafra spent with us. And this whole release is a process of pretty much songs writing a band as opposed to bands writing songs.
When I was thinking all the maybe beats per minute and then the title of the project and then thinking about, not unlike a lot of places, Hawaii's got a pretty strong meth thing going on right now.
Well, I've had my endeavors in the drug scene over my 57 years. I haven't in 13 years. And it's oddly enough, the one drug that I really hated and I only tried once was meth. And I thought I was having a heart attack when I did it. So I decided never to do that again. Some of the beats and tempos that we were working on the first 5 or 6 songs reminded me of that disastrous day where I actually tried meth. The beats were really fast, which was our intention. I mean, we just said, like, let's go in for a few months and see how fast we can go. Then about halfway through the record, we got our medical weed cards, and then the record mysteriously slowed down and everything became warm and fuzzy and groovy. I remember looking around the studio doing the vocals on Invisible and could have swore to God I saw, like, unicorns, kittens, and puppies and butterflies and rainbows.
If you could talk a little bit about laying down the vocals for that, which are downright melodic.
Yeah, the reason I came up with those lyrics and the vocal style to it was basically, like, I remember my first record when I signed to my first major label contract, and they sign you because you're doing some different kind of stuff. And as soon as you're signed, they threw all of the songs I'd written out, rewrote songs for me, cut my hair, told me how to dress, appointed a producer, appointed the background musicians, and I did this record. And I hated it. It took me years to get over the trauma and the shock of that. Now that we're just doing whatever the hell we want, I just decided I'm going to make fun of those early days and just sing it like they had me sing the early stuff.
It's really hip how you kind of revisit that flavor.
Yeah, because I don't care anymore. It is what it is. I did what I had to do at the time. I didn't know any better.
How important is the setting or environment for recording?
That's an interesting question. I mean, as I've learned over the years, the environment that you record in is everything, which is why I try and keep external influences out of the recording process. To me, the whole idea of selling yourself for money is legalized prostitution, the entire music industry, the way that the system is set up. Once you want to get off that ball game and you just do what you want to do and let something foster itself or foment organically. You know, I just go in and record ideas. And some of these ideas come out. Some of them are still on my shelf. Some of them will be released someday. Some of them will never be released.
Charles Darwin would certainly find some way of seeing justice in all of that. There's no question about
that. Yeah, evolution. Sure. Why not?
You're a cat who goes way, way back. And even if it was a difficult time because of the way that corporate pressures influenced your earliest output, you've come to reckon with it all these years later. You utilize little flavors of it like we were talking about in the new song. And I think back to 1983. You got to do the Synchronicity tour, yeah?
Yeah, I think that year we actually wound up being the fodder or the undercard, if you will, for the Police, Culture Club, and Madness that year. All three of them, we were the opening band for that. I was freaked out. This is not what I signed up for when right. I got into this, right? So it was quite the eye-opener. So if you want to see a natural progression, you mentioned Darwin.
Right.
That is evolution, because my eyes were opened wide by the powers that be to exactly how the system works. And then eventually, you just create your own system, you do your own program, your own data, and you start living by those rules.
It's almost like the exposure to all that stuff sent you packing strong.
Yeah, I definitely packed my bags after that first record for a long time. And now I'm willing to embrace it because I do realize, in the whole scope of the evolution, if you will, to get back to that, it was necessary to get me to this point.
And there's another aspect of that evolution, artificial intelligence. Ministry appears in the film I've read at the request of originally Stanley Kubrick.
Yeah, Stanley called up out of the blue, said he was really interested in us be the band on this movie. I hung up on him twice. It was the third time that I finally accepted that it was Stanley Kubrick. So he sends me a script, and the script is all about this futuristic male prostitute, i.e. Jude Law in that movie. So I was like, yeah, sure, are you kidding me? Stanley Kubrick. So from there, he died, and then nothing was happening. And then I get this call from handlers of Spielberg saying that he's finishing the movie, and we definitely wrote it in between the period that I was contacted by Kubrick and the period that Spielberg resurrected the movie and made it all about a child's eye view, much like E.T. or something, where they have like the mechanical teddy bear and all this other crap, and pretty much relegated the entire long passages that Kubrick had about the futuristic sex trade in red light districts. It's a much heavier movie when it started. And so it was kind of difficult to do this, but at that point we'd already agreed to do it, and we'd already written the songs and spent our own money out of pocket to do these songs. And so Spielberg was willing to pay us for what we had done for Kubrick and tried to assimilate it into his vision of what AI was. And my vision of AI, basically, as I told him, Spielberg, later, was I thought it was a porno flick, and I thought AI stood for intruder, but it turned out not to be the case.
No. Did you develop any kind of, I mean, from what you read online, you never know what you read online. No, the internet's kind of like a fiction story that's in progress at all times. But when you
have the never ending unfolding social media fiction story, that's exactly right. You got it.
It came across, at least, you had somehow developed some sort of rapport with Steven.
Absolutely. We actually totally had a rapport at the end. You have to remember, this poor guy has only been working with this one guy, John Williams, for every single soundtrack. And Spielberg's idea of something really cutting edge would be something like U2. So he didn't know what to make of us at all. You know, we were kind of dropped in his lap, and he was kind of dropped in our lap. But by the end of it, it was really fun seeing the growth of Steven Spielberg during the filming of 3 weeks on the set, to where every day he would come up and give me a new AI, going from intruder, I think he had animal indecency, absolute incest. He'd come up, that would be the start of every single shoot, would he come up and whisper in my ear his idea of an acronym. So we had a good laugh about it, and he wound up jamming with us and wearing my cowboy hat. Yeah, a really nice guy.
The dude from Jaws, Schindler's List. What a cool thing to get to pal around with him.
Yeah, it was fun.
Surgical meth machine. It's a legendary ministry figure, Al Jorgensen.
Well, it was a breath of fresh air.
It's all things considered.
And been on there before.
I know it. You ever come out here, have you in the studio, maybe support a nonprofit that you want to help out.
I'm always up for that.
Be safe. Thanks, Al. I appreciate it, brother.
Great talking to you, and Take care.
You too. Aloha.
Bye-bye. Aloha. Uncle Al here. Remember to support your local radio station, especially public local radio station, especially Dave Lawrence, especially somebody that would have my crazy ass on their actual frequency. So, support it or go away.